these rankings are, they have a fault. You know, they created the ranking system. They based it off of whether, you know, there's associated with research that says it lowers heart disease or is easy to stick to. So this is an independent kind of, I don't know, company is not the right word, but it's...
Well, the biggest thing is that this is subjective.
Right. That's it. That's the right word I was looking for. Yeah,
this,
so.
This entire thing, it's called... best diets.
Mm-hmm.
Best is a completely subjective word.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're basically saying these are cool diets in our opinion. Like, mm-hmm. that's what the article should be called.
Right.
But it probably wouldn't catch as much interest.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys listening each week. As you guys know, we are looking for iTunes reviews. So not only will you guys help us reach a broader audience by leaving that rating and review in Apple Podcasts app, but we will also give you guys a shout out on the upcoming episode if you guys leave that rating and review. Because we are interested in hearing what you say, and that's a great way to reach us and give us some feedback on how the podcast is going. Also, guys, we have a Facebook page, the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. You guys can check out some exclusive info and data on there, so make sure you go to Facebook, check us out, give us a thumb and liking. Thumbing and a liking? A thumbing?
I don't know if you would say... I feel like that sounds like you're hitchhiking.
Yeah, but they have the thumb when you like it, right? You click the thumb. Isn't that what they do? Isn't that what the little icon of the thumb, right?
On
Facebook?
Facebook, yeah, they're called reactions now.
The thumb is called a reaction?
That option is called a reaction.
Oh, but yeah, when you like a page, I think you hit the thumb. Thumbs up.
Who cares?
Anywho. We got a great episode for you guys today. We've got some rankings to go over. But before we do that, we're going to get into a training recap. Who do you want? You want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. So my training recap.
Ladies first.
Yes, exactly. So funny. Besides the increase in strength training that I'm doing, I got a little gift from... Ella, and yeah, it was from Ella specifically.
Yes, it was. It was an Ella gift for your birthday.
For my birthday, that was right. It was something that we talked about on this podcast before, the Care of Vitamins.
Yes.
Care of is actually a, I guess, supplement subscription company. Is that a way to describe it?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. It's pretty, I think that's probably the best describer.
Yeah, we actually did an unboxing of Shannon's Care of Vitamins way back on March...
19th?
19th, that's correct. And we also did a lactation cookie taste test, so...
Yes, and Nick actually tried them.
Yeah, they were delicious, I will not lie. So, I was excited to... Once Shannon was telling me about that and showed me about the Care of company, I was very excited to get my own box, and it just took us about 3/4 of a year to get it done, and somebody giving me the gift for me not doing it for myself. So I wanted to review what I got and kind of mention, which we went through on the that episode when we did the unboxing, the Care of unboxing, is that they make you do a little quiz in advance to kind of find out what you want and what your preferences are. Or are you kind of more adventurous? Not adventurous. I don't know if adventurous is the right word.
Well,
but
it's basically to identify your vitamin and supplement goals. Like, why do you want to take them? Because obviously different lifestyles, different health conditions, that's going to impact what you should be taking. So... Mm-hmm. To kind of help build out the recommendations, since you customize your packs and then subscribe to them on a monthly basis, you just take this quiz up front to basically just help the process so that you don't have to necessarily know everything you want to take. And they have some supplements in there that are like super research backed and like, yeah. You know, long-standing, proven, and there's some where they have, like, emerging research on. Yeah. So, like, I know I chose one with emerging research that I was extremely happy with.
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to go over the ones that I kind of chose, and they gave me a custom recommendations, and I took some, and I left some others. So, one of my first ones, which is one you guys will probably be familiar with, we talk about it on the podcast a lot, is probiotic. Excuse me, let me just say that one more time. I got a probiotic blend capsule because I didn't have any probiotics currently, so I knew how important that is. I'm a big believer in it, so I got a probiotic. I also have digestive enzymes and prebiotics that I already have as a supplement, so I'm hitting it on both ends, literally, I guess. What? All right, so the next one was iron. I got an iron supplement, which is actually doctor recommended after my last physical. In my blood work, I was told that my doctor told me I could benefit from a iron supplement. So I actually ran out of the ones that I got from the doctor's office. So I went ahead and got one in my pack. Also got some fish oil because I'm a big believer in fish oil. And I've probably been, I've been neglecting taking one, finding a good fish oil.
Well, the real good ones are tough. And then the ones that are good and worthwhile, they can be pretty expensive.
Yeah, so I like this, and obviously, kind of Shannon mentioned, it's interesting how they do the pricing, but that was the more expensive, pill in my supplement pack. So I got two fish oil soft gels. Those were three that were kind of in that strong research-backed category, you know, the probiotic, the iron, and the fish oil. So then I went with two that they recommended that were more in the emerging research. Mm-hmm. So this one, I'm going to try to pronounce it, and you laughed at me the first time I pronounced it. Ashwagandha. Okay.
Well, minus the fact that
Ashwagandha. No?
You know how to pronounce it. It's
ashwagandha. Oh, I said it right the first time? I thought you made fun of me when I said it that time.
Because you stretched out the, like, syllable so that you sounded ashwagandha. Slow. Ashwagandha.
See? Right? It makes you want to do it, too.
Ashwagandha. No, I was imitating you.
How dare you. All right, so
ashwagandha.
This was ashwagandha. And
probably
this
is the most popular adaptogen to date right now.
Yes, I think we did talk about this when we did our shroom tech, right?
When we did our adaptogens discussion, talked about ashwagandha.
This is, they call it the chill pill. Yep. This is for, to benefits a host of things, including supports strength and endurance, helps reduce food cravings, supports memory and cognitive function, helps relieve occasional stress. And it's cool because I got actually their app also, and it kind of lists all of the pills that are in my box, and then it goes into those different benefits and tells how much research is actually associated with those supposed benefits. So,
plus you can earn carrots. Mm-hmm. By the way, none of this is sponsored. This is just our honest review of this product and service, and yeah, we've liked it to date.
So that was I wanted to get that too, not only for all the, you know, the brain benefits, the stress reduction, but now that I'm doing a lot more strength training, they actually had a study done in 2015 that used double-blind placebo, which is pretty high up there. That's one of when they do clinical trials, anything that has double-blind placebo is usually pretty. It's what they kind of consider the gold standard. So that's good. That's pretty cool. Only two studies, but they did have the double-blind placebo. And then my last one was coral cream, but there's actually coral king. This is actually, there is a lot of strong research based behind this, and it is a stellar antioxidant that can support heart health. Wow. So, like I said, that was another one that was important to me, health.
Yeah.
Also, some research that suggests that it supports athletic performance, supports healthy skin, supports cognitive function.
Sweet.
So, that's in my vitamin pack from the Care of subscription company, so supplement subscription company. And as Shannon said, not sponsored, just something we use. And I'd suggest people go at least taking the quiz and see what they come back with.
Yeah, and there are definitely promo codes out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So that's how I got my first pack for like half off. And there's like they do sponsor podcasts and they give those podcasts promo codes.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the smart Googlers out there can probably find at least one.
Yeah. I know I had a gift card and I got a promo code. So yeah. My first pack called like $5.
Yeah. So. That's
and
pretty sweet.
With all those pills I mentioned, I think it was around $45.
Well, when you think about, you know, most pills come with like a 30-day supply, typically. Some are 60 if you buy like the really big ones.
Mm-hmm.
But usually if you buy the individual bottles, and this was the reason that I stuck with mine. If you buy the individual bottles, you're talking like if you're taking a multivitamin or something, you're talking about like $20 to $30 just for a multivitamin. Then if you get into adding like fish oil, well, you're looking at least $30 or $40.
Yeah.
Then you put in the extra ones. I mean, you can spend $100 a month easily buying individual supplements.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have a wholesale connection. I will just say that. My mom is actually, in my past, she used to be my wholesale connection since she was an acupuncturist. But she's now retired.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's actually, I think it's more cost efficient to buy them from a service like this because you're not paying for loads and loads of packaging. They are individually packaged, but you're not paying for the bottles. You're not paying the up price on all the individual brand marketing. It just seems a lot more cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can control, like we spend anywhere from $30 to $60 a month.
Yeah, I think it's, and that, I like that fact too, that you don't have to get all the separate bottles. They come in a nice little kind of takeaway, like daily pack.
Actual personalized with your name on it.
Yeah.
And yours say message. From Ella.
Yeah, and they say from Ella, and they have like a little kind of like motivational quote or something on there. So it's pretty cool. Check them out, guys. It is takecareof.com, and you guys can go ahead. Take the quiz. Give it a shot. All right, so we're going to throw it over to you for your training recap.
Okay, so I'm just going to say, is there anyone else out there that experience was what I like to call the post-holiday hangover? I feel like this is a thing. I was talking to one of my coworkers about it, and she was saying how she absolutely is convinced that's a thing. And it's basically like those 2 to 3 weeks after the holiday season ends, so like after New Year's, and you're getting, quote-unquote, back into the normal routine.
Mm-hmm.
I find my energy, like, plummets. It's one of the reasons that I kind of feel like, you know, if you're looking to start like new like trends or resolutions or something like that right on January 1st or 2nd, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure because my energy like crashes after the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just I invest like a ton into it. I usually like if I'm going to get sick, that's usually the time period that I get sick, too.
So stop listening to Christmas music.
I know. The Christmas music is magic. It brings me peace. But, yeah, so my energy has been low.
Right.
Low, low. And then I was fighting a cold. And then I was super stressed because Ella was sick. I have shifted. The past, like, 2 weeks, I shifted my training to focus more on the mental side than the physical. So I am still getting in occasional workouts, little yoga, little HIIT workout, spinning occasionally, but I've been focused on meditation. And then my newest thing is bullet journaling.
Yeah.
So, and this is something I know that you're, like, more excited about now because you actually talk to other people who are doing this.
Yeah,
for kind of the same reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And they had really good things to say about it. So now my doodles in my like notebook are, they make more sense to you, I feel like.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, I started shortly after the new year, and I had been planning to, like, I'd been researching it. I pinned like a ton of things on Pinterest. I have an entire board just for bullet journal inspiration. And the thing I think that's so great about it is I've been a dedicated planner participant for years. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always had to have, I couldn't just rely on like a computer calendar or a phone. I had to have a physical calendar. And I needed to be able to write that stuff down and go back and reference it and see it. And I don't know why, but that's just like, that's how I've been. But so I have my planner this year, but I'm not using it as much because I've turned to my bullet journal, which is 100% customizable. Mm-hmm. It's literally just an empty journal, a bunch of dotted pages that you design however you want. And you can do it for creative purposes. Like, I've not been good at journaling ever in my entire life. Like, back when I was younger and, you know, it was cool to have your journal and write, like, you know, when you're really mad at your parents or something like that, or a stupid teacher or someone was mean at school. I wrote those, but it would be like, I would do it for like a week and then I'd stop for a month.
Yeah.
And then I'd do it for 3 days and then I'd stop for 6 months. And then I'd look back and be like, oh, crap. Like, and then I'd get mad at myself. This, I look forward to doing every day. It's my creative outlet. It's my organizational outlet. It's my documentation outlet. I mean, it's just, it's proving to be everything that I really kind of need. I feel like in this moment, and it's allowing me, I have one specific spread in here of my habit trackers that I will set up each month. And it's got just six habits that I'm working on tracking. And I'm purely just doing this kind of just to see where I land out. I'm not doing it with any specific goal in mind, because this month is so kind of transitional in my mind. But I have like movement one, meditation's another. I'm doing really good on the meditation front, by the way. I have like more than half the month highlighted. No spending, that's not going so well. Journaling, that one's going well. Posting to social, and then working on my secret project. So it's just nice to kind of be able to reference this, but it's also nice to check it off. I put all like my meal plans in here. I actually do keep my work to-do list in here as well. Then I have just like weekly planners, annual logs. I have a mood tracker, which will be interesting. It's, I designed it to be a flower, like a rose, and each day it is a different petal, and depending the mood you're in that day, you color it in a different color. So it's all different shades of like pink and purple, depending on the day, and there's actually red, which looks really similar to that, but, so it's kind of interesting to see like what my mood will predominantly be for this month, come the end of the month. So it's, yeah, it's been really fun.
That's cool. Like, I mean, it's very artistic. You guys can't see it right now, but I mean, this has allowed you to also be very, you know, get, and I don't know if you mentioned your doodling. Now, yeah, you put a lunar calendar in there with the phases of the moon.
I so wanted a lunar calendar to access like on a regular basis because, oh yeah, by the way, tomorrow or technically Monday is a full moon.
Oh, okay.
See, right there. Right there.
Is there some sort of lunar eclipse
it
happening?
It is. There's a big lunar eclipse. It's the last one for a decade or in the decade or something like that. It's very powerful.
Well, it is very cool. And like you mentioned, I spoke with somebody else recently, talked about bullet journaling. So I was like, oh, I know somebody that bullet journals. She's always sitting next to me writing doodling in there. But the doodles are, you know, very productive. And I think it's something that has been beneficial both, you know, to mental health, but also for, you know, manifesting what you want to happen.
Yes.
So I need to get my butt in gear and do it too.
It's like a good way, especially if you're a person that kind of needs like an additional organization method to focus your thoughts and ideas sometimes, like when they're too all over the place. You need some guidelines, which is why like doing a journaling kind of thing is great.
Yeah.
But you also want the freedom to do it how you want. And I like that I don't have to just write out words. Like that I can kind of communicate and organize my thoughts in pictures and layouts and, you know, mood trackers and all this stuff, because there's so many things in my brain.
I don't know. It's like, it'd be tough. I don't know if I could do it when it's totally blank. I kind of like the lines and boxes and stuff. I don't know why. We'll see.
Maybe that's it. More your style.
Maybe. Because, I mean, I do have a planner, and I like that a lot, you know.
Oh, so yeah. I enjoy writing that down.
Yep. So we'll see.
It's maybe a different thing.
Yeah. I'll have to work towards it. All right. So as we mentioned when we started the episode, we have some rankings to go over this week. Shannon found this, discovered this article, and it happens to be the U.S. News' 41 best diets overall. So these are the best diets that are easy to follow, nutritious, and effective for weight loss and preventing diabetes and heart disease. So I think this is overall. We're just going to do the overall, and then we're going to break it down. So we're going to do 1 through 4. Obviously, there are 41 ones that they ranked, but we're going to just start from 4 and go to 1 because we're not going to be here all night. Okay? Yeah,
no.
So let's start with number 4. And I think I'm going to start already being frustrated with the very first one, but why not? Let's go for it. Actually, number 4 I'm not too mad about. Because I previewed some of these and I was reading about it, and the 4 is not as bad as not too bad.
Wow, you're being very annoying just talking about numbers right now. Yes,
good. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it. The Mind Diet. Okay, so the Mind Diet is apparently a combination of two. It's the DASH Diet, which we'll actually talk about soon, and the Mediterranean Diet. And it zeroes in on foods in each that specifically affect brain health, which I'm not mad at. You know, I think what they're really looking for, trying to have a positive effect on, you know, mental, I would say degenerative diseases, you know, case in point, Alzheimer's. So they look at foods that are probably high in omega fatty acids, and other components that really help with, brain health. So let's break down Mind Diet a little bit just to see.
It sounds like something out of the sci-fi, like the Mind Diet. And it got a ranking of 3.9. So U.S. News is the organization that like ranked these in their, I guess this is an annual diet ranking that's called Best Diets Overall.
Mm-hmm. So the Mind Diet includes whole grains, vegetables, also twice a week you can have poultry, berries, dine on fish at least weekly, olive oil. It also has to be tied with, this is what was going to make me mad, but number 4 also tied with the Weight Watchers diet, so I'm just going to skip over that one. Let's go to number 3. Flexitarian diet. So
I've heard this talked about.
Yeah, this is one, and I've heard this too. You know, it's the vegetarian diet, but a little bit more flexible. So having in fish, also maybe having in meat or red meat or pork or poultry every once in a while. But this, you know, I'm not really opposed to the idea of this diet. You know, this is kind of close to the vegan diet. I feel like when we talked about that, you know, way several months ago, where, you know, it was a combination of paleo and vegan. So just having those components of whole foods, lots of vegetables, and then good high-quality protein, healthy fats, I think. Obviously, you know, a lot of these diets, as you guys will see if you check out this link, they're still not on the fat train, which I think is a shame. But, well, we're going to mention something, maybe see that they're kind of seeing the light in a little bit. So they say they, for the flexitarian diet, had particularly high scores in nutritional completeness, easiness to follow, and long-term weight loss, as well as heart health. Flexibility of diet makes it a good fit for many people and is a more sustainable option compared with stricter diets. That's kind of a thing for people always looking for. They need some flexibility, i.e. the flexitarian diet. So number two.
The DASH diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd actually never heard of the DASH diet before.
Really?
No. The only thing I DASH related to the Kardashians, so...
Right, yeah. I remember hearing about the DASH diet. I think it's mostly, it's a kind of a calorie counting diet. DASH stands for, let me go, I'm just making sure I find how it what it stands for.
Dietary approaches to stop hypertension.
Yes. So the DASH diet is mainly for people with high blood pressure. So this is, which is, a, you know, kind of a chronic metabolic syndrome that people suffer from and have to take a lot of medication from. We'll see kind of a little quick components. Emphasis on foods that you've always been told to eat.
Fruits, well, that's, yeah. Vegetables, whole grains, lean protein, low-fat dairy.
But the high, which are high in, these foods are high in blood pressure deflating nutrients like potassium, calcium, protein, and fiber. Not mad with the protein, but of course, the DASH diet discourages foods that are high in saturated fat, such as fatty meats, full-fat dairy, and tropical oils, as well as sugar-sweetened beverages and sweets. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We had no problem with that. All right, so that's the number two diet, the DASH diet. And then the final one, number one, you guys probably imagine a lot of people would guess it. It is the Mediterranean diet. So yep. A lot of people associate the basically the cuisine they eat in the Mediterranean countries, Italy, Greece, and obviously the other countries around there with people that live longer lives, you know, and
right.
Healthier lives, less instances of cancer and other kind of chronic diseases that we see a lot in this country.
Yes, high in fruits and vegetables, lots of olive oil, lots of seafood,
mm-hmm.
like lighter proteins, I feel like, is what I would associate with a lot of Mediterranean diet.
Right.
Like smaller animals. Like
yeah.
You're not eating a cow.
Right.
You'd eat like probably a goat. Or
yep.
Like a
goat,
lamb.
Yep.
But big ones. Lots of seafood.
Yep.
And I mean, just loads of fresh vegetables and
yep.
fruit. Like
yep.
loads of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you look at a Mediterranean style table and it's beautiful because it's just packed with all these different varieties
yeah.
of things. And they use like whole grains, but it's not like a ton of bread.
Right.
It's not like, especially it's not a lot of like risen breads.
Yeah.
It might be flat breads here
yeah.
and there, but they use dairy, but it's not excessive.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's sort of like a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually have always been a really big fan of Mediterranean diet.
Right.
I think it was what my mom kind of taught me to sort of follow more.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people that have been talking about this ranking and a lot of the reasons this is in the news is because Mediterranean diet is not new. It
no,
is not revolutionary.
No.
It has been around. This went through like a fad.
Absolutely.
Like 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like super trendy then. And now people are like, wait, it's back? It never went away.
Right. Yeah, some other things, too, that we're big fans of that are on the Mediterranean diet are eggs. And it's interesting. They have, we're looking at this kind of things to eat on the Mediterranean diet. They say soy, which is interesting to me. I don't know why soy. I don't really associate the Mediterranean with soy. But I guess, you know, soy is kind of universal, unfortunately, nowadays. but some things to avoid, which is, these are kind of things you should avoid on all diets and or avoid, period. Processed foods, refined oils, added or artificial sweeteners. You know, you don't need that. Any diet, doesn't matter where the ranking is, you should not have diets with that include a lot of those. You know, trust us. So this kind of, these rankings are, they have a fault. You know, they created the ranking system. They based it off of whether, you know, there's associated with research that says it lowers heart disease or is easy to stick to. So this is an independent kind of, I don't know, company is not the right word, but it's...
Well, the biggest thing is that this is subjective.
Right. That's it. That's the right word I was looking for. Yeah.
This entire thing, it's called... best diets.
Mm-hmm.
Best is a completely subjective word.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're basically saying these are cool diets in our opinion. Like, mm-hmm. that's what the article should be called.
Right.
But it probably wouldn't catch as much interest. Now, granted, at least they're consistent in what they measure. So if there are changes from year to year, then I guess that's taken under consideration. But... best diet is sort of also an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Because the best diet for you is not the best diet for me. I've already learned this the hard way.
Yep.
When I try to eat like you, my body does not like it.
Right.
And you are not going to become primarily plant-based anytime in the near future, whereas I probably would consider that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more about... the diet that you will keep.
It's true.
That's what is the best diet for you.
Right.
And that's what you have to think about when you see these kind of rankings.
Mm-hmm.
They're super misleading because unless you've tried all of these, gosh, I hope not, then you don't, you know, like this doesn't mean really anything to
right.
you. Like, you can have your own ranking. That's what you should follow.
Yeah. And you need to base it off of kind of like what your feedback with your doctor is and what your health goals are and what your, you know, what your any symptoms that you're dealing with as far as metabolic disorders. So I think that's great. Like Shannon's saying, it's not one size fits all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody should be running to the Mediterranean diet. It actually has some great, I believe it has great aspects to it, but it might not fit everybody.
Yeah, there might be people out there who absolutely detest seafood.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a big problem with the Mediterranean diet if you don't like seafood.
That's
like,
right.
Big time.
Yeah. So it's that's what we wanted to get forward. You know, I want to get across, you know, talking about these best diets and this ranking. It's that it's interesting. It maybe introduces different diets that you've never heard of, which is, you know, I guess interesting to a certain extent, but it should not be what you're basing all your dietary choices on. You need to base mm-hmm. your dietary choices on your fitness goals and your health condition, you know, and obviously doctor's advice, nutritionist advice, and, you know, other people who are knowledgeable on what food has the best effect on your body. But as we already mentioned, for the Mediterranean, what they talked about in things to avoid for all diets is processed foods, refined oils, and added or artificial sweeteners or sugars, okay? I think that's kind of a good, you know, kind of blanket statement that you should avoid in your diets.
Yeah, whole foods, low sugar.
Mm-hmm. And that's to say diet. Everybody thinks diet is a temporary way of eating. You need to start another part of a diets that you need to get over is that it's not a temporary fix. That is now
lifestyle.
Thank you. Perfect. You took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm sorry.
That's what you do. Yep, that is what you do. So, you guys, I know we've talked about it before, and we only went through the first four. The keto diet, we've talked about it on the podcast before. It actually did make the list. It made their list for the U.S. News. Actually, did a couple different lists. Best overall diet was the one we were going over, but if you guys click on one of the links on that page, they go break it down. Best fast weight loss diet. Two, Atkins and keto diet are actually tied for number two, which Atkins and keto are pretty close together. Atkins is a little bit more protein based, so, or higher protein. So there's actually, they go through the whole thing. Best diabetes diet, best heart healthy diet, best commercial diets, best diets for healthy eating. So they have a couple different rankings, and it's interesting to see. But we've talked about Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig on here, and when I see that, it kind of gets me a little cray-cray. Even though I know Weight Watchers has made a lot of strides to creating a better support system, which I think is big when it comes to weight loss and having a support system. So I don't want to poo-poo them too much. But
tracking and accountability and support, those are like the three major reasons that that diet is super successful. Mm-hmm. It's pretty straightforward otherwise.
Yep. All right, guys. So that's the rankings as far as diet. If you guys have maybe some suggestions on some diets that we haven't mentioned in this episode, please feel free to share them with us on any of our social channels, Facebook page, on the website, or leave it in your rating and review for when you go to Apple Podcast app and give the rating and review for the Addicted to Fitness podcast.
Yeah, and let us know what you want to hear in the future from us.
Mm-hmm. We've got some good episodes coming up in the next couple of weeks. Some guest stars are coming on to talk to you guys about their different addiction to fitness. So we're going to be featuring that the next couple of weeks. So guys, stay tuned for that. And you got anything else for them?
That is it. I'm going to go journal now.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you steady?
Yeah.
Are we going?
Yeah.
Five, four, three.